We play for keeps, Cuddy. You ain't heard about the huddle fire with no with D-Lane. We tryna get it off the muscle. Walters caught the pick and ran it back without a tussle. Blow the whistle, coach, it's time to get back to the huddle.
Welcome to the 510 Huddle Podcast. It's your boy, Coach D-Lane, in the building with my brother, my guy, Keaton. How you doing today, brother?
It was a great day, bro. Football's back, and it was a definitely an exciting day, for sure.
Yes, we're back on the huddle today to give you this week one recap, and it was definitely an interesting week one, man. I got to say, on Twitter this morning, I was on Twitter scrolling through on the timeline, seeing somebody say, man, these morning games suck. I was like, you sure about that? I was like, you sure about that?
First half sucked.
The first half, but you know me, I'm a defensive guy. I can enjoy those type of outings and performances. But the second half, they turned up, and it was an amazing morning slate, and the whole week one in general. It was just a great amount of football. Let me see. That Sunday night game just ended. We'll get to that in a second. My bad. I was just checking out this NFL Network. I thought they were showing the highlights of this other game. Excuse me. Anyway, let's start here, though, brother, because we got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk a little fantasy football. We'll touch on the Monday night game as well, Seattle versus the Broncos. And then we'll also end with the Sunday night game that just happened, Tampa versus the Cowboys. So let's start here, though, because I want to talk about this game specifically. The Steelers versus the Bengals. Interesting. Very, very interesting. I ended up taking the Steelers. I took the Steelers in the points, 6.5 against the spread. So they ended up winning and covering, so that was great for me. But very interesting game. What was your thoughts, brother?
Ultimately, I was disappointed. I was disappointed on a few fronts. First off, with Cincy, that newly shaped offensive line is definitely still a work in progress. It's going to take them a little bit longer to gel than I thought. It just goes to show you that talent, even though that it is important, your chemistry is just as important. And Joe definitely was not his best showing. I think that's very safe to say that was the worst game of his young NFL career so far, and probably the worst game of his football life. Not everything was his fault because he was getting pressured and hit, but 5 turnovers for him, that is, yeah. there's not a whole lot that I can say. Jamar Chase looked awesome as always. He is a stud. But since his defense is very good, it's hard for me to really gauge them just because that Pittsburgh offense is basically what it's been the last 2 years now. Except now it's just with Mitch and not with Big Ben. The Steelers offense is disappointing. You have all that skill talent, and you force 5 turnovers, and your offense scores, what, 16 points? That is disappointing. And like, I know the easy thing is to say it's Mitch, and because he has like a narrative around him, but ultimately that offensive line is awful, and I do not like the Steelers offensive game plan at all. Chase Claypool, although he is a weapon type of player, he should never be more effective in the run game than in the pass game. That should never happen. So I'm not a fan of their offense. I'm not a fan of their approach. And it pretty much just boiled down to which team got luckier today for me. Since he should have, despite the 5 turnovers, since he still should have won that game. I think that just, if you're a Steelers fan, I think that just shows the gap between Cincy and the Steelers ultimately, but that's all that I can really say. It was an interesting game. It was pretty much exciting for the wrong reasons, I guess you could say. And there is a lot of disappointment to go around.
You kind of said it earlier. Lucky, man. That's the one takeaway that I think you have to be having right now if you're a Steelers fan. You're lucky, man, because I believe one less, maybe two less turnovers by Cincy, who ended up committing 5 turnovers. I believe they won that game by 10 points, probably 10 or more points, man. So Trubisky, another thing I came away with is what I've already been telling you, brother. Trubisky's just not it for me, man. He, you know, I do see it with his legs. You know, he adds that dynamic to, you know, escape the pass rush and whatnot. But I'm just not seeing it. Like you said, you got too many weapons, man. You drafted this kid, like I said, brother. This would have been a perfect game to start Kenny Pickett. I get it. It's a division game versus a tough rival opponent in the Pittsburgh Steelers. In the Cincinnati Bengals. But you got to see what you got, man. You got to see right now, right away. Tonight, they would have known, can this guy compete with the other 3 quarterbacks in our division? Now you don't know. But with Trubisky, how do you feel about that? As far as what was your takeaway from Trubisky? Do you feel like they still should just keep going with Trubisky?
I would say at the beginning of the offseason, I was saying that they should just start him and stick with him. Then I saw Kenny play, and I came around on that a little bit. It's just hard, man, because their offensive line is so bad. I get that he started for 4 years in college and he should be ready, but I still don't know if he has the physical capabilities and the mental toughness to overcome something like that. It's hard to really know. So I get why they went with Mitch. So I definitely do not can condemn them for that. But I'll say this, if they're looking like that the next week or two, and let's just be real, I don't even know what their schedule is, but if they keep playing like that, especially now with TJ Watt out, they're likely not going to win many more games. So at that point,
Another reason why you should play the young bull. Play Kenny Pickett, man. My last point on that game. First of all, we all know Chase is special. That one hand that he caught, that was I really thought that was inbounds, but it was a nice, nice catch, man.
Yeah.
That one was nice. And then Nikhilo Witherspoon, terrible, terrible technique on that low red zone. The play that they scored to tie the game up, Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase on a quick rollout, quick 3-5 yard rollout. And they're in man coverage, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Witherspoon's just backing up in the low red zone. You're backing up out of bounds. Backpedal out of bounds to the back of the end zone. Like, what are you doing? That makes no
That's
sense.
That's what speed does.
Like, you gotta your feet and catch that, man. You cannot backpedal in the low red zone as a DB. I'm telling you that you'll get cooked every time.
It's true.
One way go. You gave the out right away.
It's true, but that's what speed does. I mean, Ja'Marr is different, man.
No,
he's
not.
He he's gonna make a lot of players play differently.
He nice. Let's move on to his next game, man. Yeah. Baker versus his old team, the Browns. I thought Baker was gonna pull it through for a second. I actually stayed away from this game. I was kind of scared, even though my heart was telling me I should go with the Browns, just because I believe Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett, and those boys on defense would be hungry, and they was. But, that was my fault. I should have bet that one, but the Browns ended up holding on. What's your thoughts on that one, brother?
Just quickly, Browns offense is stale. They're going to be very limited. Amari Cooper, he's going to have a difficult year, and it's not going to be all of his fault. Jacoby Brissett. I always thought he had a little bit more ability than what he had. So that's on me from
I thought he had more than what he showed today.
I mean, Carolina's defense is very, very good, but that was something else. So I'll leave it there. So Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, they're definitely going to be earning their money in these next couple of weeks. The Browns defense, they showed up just like I thought. And I want to give love to Baker because he's just a fighter. When they were getting their butts kicked like that, it would have been easy for him and them to just fold it up. But kudos to him and kudos to them for taking the lead. And that's the other thing. It's one thing to just make it respectable or make it seem like it was good, but they took the lead. And I think we all thought that they were going to win, especially with the amount of time that was left. And based on what Jacoby Brissett and that Browns offense pretty much looked like the entire day. So pretty much credit to them. I have the Browns going into it. They pretty much did what I thought. I just didn't know that offense would look as bad as it did.
Yeah, I thought the offense would look a little better for the Browns as well. Amari Cooper was actually open a few times, and Brissett just missed him. Brissett just openly missed him. So Nick Chubb and the guys did their thing. Kareem Hunt in the pass game did his thing as well to help out a little bit. I thought I'd see a little more of Njoku at tight end. I thought we'll see a little more from him as well. Usually Brissett leans on his tight ends. We didn't really see that too much. But I will say the same thing, though, brother. I will shout out Baker for fighting back, pulling his team back into that game because it did look like they were about to get routed up for a second. But he fights them back in and actually takes the lead at the end of the game for a quick second. But, yeah, so that's all I got on that game. Got anything else on that one?
No. I think both teams probably won't win a whole lot of games, but they'll definitely make it interesting.
Have you been hearing people pick the before week one? Did you hear people picking the Panthers too?
Yes, I did.
To win that division? What the fuck? I was like, I didn't see that. I was like, people tripping. The Panthers to win the division? Nah. I like the defense. You know, they were pretty good last year, especially early on. But nah, I'm not seeing it. I like front. I really like their front, but nah.
I get why, or I should say, like, I hear why people were. But ultimately, for me, I think Baker's a good player, but I don't think he's good enough to overcome all of those deficiencies that they really have. And I don't think just getting an offensive tackle at the sixth pick is pretty much enough to fix your offensive line woes. And that's it.
Let's move to the other local team, our main local team, and then we'll get to the out-of-state local team, the Las Vegas Raiders. But let's start with the San Francisco 49ers, man. On the road in the ugly, ugly, muddy game. Ugly rain game in Chicago versus the Chicago Bears. They end up falling. And this one pissed me off, bro. They end up falling like 19-10, right? They end up falling 19-10. This one pissed me off because this was one of my locks for the week. Just about on all my tickets. Yeah, brother, just about on every one of my – so for the most part, I hit more on the player props this weekend than I did on the team one. I still need Russ to give me at least 2 passing touchdowns tomorrow. That's easy money. But the team bets for me this weekend, they all got killed and blew up by the damn Niners, man. I did not see this one. You were kind of close on this as far as just saying it would be an ugly game and that it would be a lot closer than what everybody else was saying. Did you say that because of the weather? I started hearing about the weather yesterday. And I would have changed my pick, bro. I really would have changed my pick at least as far as probably picked Chicago in the spread if I knew it was that bad. I didn't know the weather was that bad, so yeah.
No, I did not. I had no idea about the weather until I tuned in. I guess for me, I just I just thought that Fields, despite however he looked throughout the game, or like how that offense looked, I thought he could make two plays that could keep them in it. And that's what he did. He made two throws the entire day, and that was basically enough. And I thought he could do that, and I thought Trey Lance would not at this point. And I want to give a shout out to Trey because he was able to make some more routine throws than I would have given him credit for, especially in that weather. And he made some very nice throws. Ultimately, he just it's just the inexperience and the penalties. They have what 11 penalties, and the Bears had zero. So that was your game right there, Niners. If you guys don't have all of those penalties and you play the cleaner game, you guys win. But shout out to the Bears, man. I mean, it was one of those games where the whole world said no and they said yes.
And brother,
And
before
that's
you
what it
dive
was.
deeper, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I wanted to
I know
stop
you're
you
good.
where you were talking as far as penalties, because I gotta put some of that and most of that on my coach of the year, Kyle Shanahan, man. Shanahan, man. And I just believed I thought he would call a lot better of a game for Trey. You can't I can't you're not supposed to walk away from that game and feel like it was ugly for Fields as well, but I felt like they called a better game for Fields. I don't know. I don't know. The run game looked fine, in spurts, especially before Mitchell went down with an injury. And I know Trey missed a shot ball, right? I think he missed one as well. I don't know, man. It didn't look like a game plan that was fit to make Trey comfortable. And maybe some of that is due to the weather and he had to change his game plan on the fly. Maybe they got the news about the weather late too. I don't want to put it all on Shanahan, but at the same time, you're going against a team that's not supposed to be that talented with a young quarterback, and you have a young quarterback with a bunch of blue chippers. I can't put much of this game on Trey. You're supposed to be a elite coach, an elite play caller and offensive mind. You got to call a better and cleaner game for the kid. And then, yeah, they got to play smarter and more sound and disciplined football as well.
The only thing that I will say to that is I do believe penalties are a product of coaching, but also with this team specifically, they have enough veterans and they have a standard set to where they should have just performed better. Also with the offensive game plan, I actually didn't hate it. This is what I think for Trey. Kyle has to call a lot more things outside of the numbers because of Trey, and he can be a little hit and miss. And those throws today, in large part, well, I shouldn't say in large part, but he was able to hit more of those throws than what I thought. And he also has to learn this. I saw his frustration come into play later on in the game where he would just take off running and try and take on the defensive players. I hope that they dive into film and he really learns from this leap. And I'll
Some
say
of
that.
it, what is running, some of it is him protecting himself as well. But that's some of the reason why I didn't like the game plan as far as some of the runs involving Trey. They seen it first, and I'm actually saying this to give you a credit. Give me a second, but I'm pissed off because Kyle should have seen this first, especially in practice and joint practices, whatever. I know they don't hit the quarterback, but the way Trey runs, bro, I don't know if it's because he's young. I know I asked somebody and compared them to Josh Allen or whatever. Maybe it was unfair because the kid is still young. But when he runs, is it me or does he look timid? I really see what you were talking about when you was like, I don't
Yeah.
know if he's really that threat as far as with the
He's
legs, like everybody was saying. I remember you've been saying that for weeks now, brother. And
Yeah.
I thought he had a little more juice compared to last, man. I don't know. He just he ran different last year to me compared to what I seen today. I don't know if it's the rain, the weather, whatever. I don't know. But he looked timid today when he was running compared to when Fields had to be on the scramble because for the most part they were playing in the same conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Fields did not look timid. Fields looked like a dog. He looked like he had that it factor, like you said. He only made two throws of the really in the entire game, but that's that it factor. It was those two throws that mattered. You feel me? Trey missed one of his. So
he
was real timid to me, brother. Trey Lynn.
Well, the only thing that I can say to that is when you're comparing the two of them, and this is what I've been saying, and this is kind of like why I said, like, if they wanted the quarterback with like the higher ceiling, quote unquote, when they were drafting, they should have taken Fields because Fields can do more things than Fields is just a better specimen than Trey is. Trey is like a good athlete for the position, but he's not. I don't think he'll ever be one of those guys that'll be one of like the top 3 to 5 dual threats. I really don't, just because I don't think he's the athlete that people built him up to be. I really don't.
Quick comparison, and of course I think he's faster than this guy. We might have to look at the numbers, shit. But Pat doesn't even run that timid, and I say he's more in like that class with like Pat. Mobile.
I would say the athleticism, yeah, but
yeah, that's why I mean athleticism and mobility, yeah.
But Pat's a better athlete, though.
You think so?
In terms of, because so this is Pat's baseball background with it too, just from like the standpoint of like his short area quickness and being able to bend. Trey is a pretty stiff athlete from what I've seen from him. Like he might put out like the same numbers, but I think you can say, I think that this is the best way to say it. For you playing DB, as you know, there are guys that'll put out the same testing, but on the field, some guys just move differently. That's kind of like what Trey is. Like Trey's the guy that'll put up similar numbers to maybe Patrick Mahomes. Like he won't move the same. Like that's how I could say it.
Yeah, because Pat doesn't run that timid at all. And,
no.
Man, I like I said, we understand it's his first year under him, under the helm of being the full-time starting quarterback for the Niners. But he played a little bit last year, man. So I was expecting a little more in the run game than that, at least for me personally. But my last note on this game, do you got anything else on this game? Because my last note was Kyle still has a losing record without Jimmy G.
Yes, that is true. And I'll say this. I'm going to cut the kid slack, and we'll see how he looks next week, because I think next week they have another winnable game. But like I said, if they lose this game, which they did to an inferior team, clearly, and all the other quarterback had to do is make one or two plays, which their guy, for whatever the reasons were, could not, that Jimmy G talk in the locker room, forget the media, it's going to start coming at some point.
Ooh, they got Seattle next week. So Seattle, that's a winnable game. I already said that I wouldn't get on the kid like that as well, brother, just because I want to give some of the blame towards Shanahan and calling a better, cleaner game for the kid. The other thing I will note, I also forgot about, we talked about it before the game, George Kittle being out, and you know, especially for any young quarterback, most quarterbacks, even the elite ones, they love a good tight end. Because for the most part, your tight end is the guy that's gonna clear the middle out for you. That's your security blanket. He can do the and an elite tight end like Kittle can also run block, so he would have been able to help maybe make that run game look a little more elite. I'm not sure, but we'll see. He should be back for week 2. I think that's what he said on the sideline. Yeah.
Oh, wait, one last thing. This is not Trey's fault, but again, I think for where the 49ers roster is or where we all think that it is, he's just in an unfair situation for him where he's not going to be afforded the real time that he needs to really get to where people think that he can be. And that's unfortunate for him. So I hope he bounces back next week, and we shall see.
Got you. Let's move on to the Raiders versus the Chargers. This was a pretty good game, especially at the end. A little disappointing on the Raiders side. I thought that the team would be a little more well-prepared and a little more – and play the offense just, you know, would have came to play a little more, especially early on in the game. So, early on, my analysis for the Raiders is, you know, one of my biggest question marks coming into the season. Was Josh McDaniels, you know, being able to lead a team and be a leader of men. Not saying that he didn't lead his team. Well, he didn't lead them to a victory today. That's obvious. Not saying he doesn't have control in his locker room, but he didn't lead his team to a victory today. And the side of the ball that he's supposed to be an expert on today didn't look very crisp. So, and Derek Carr looked very vanilla playing game today. I will say Devontae Adams is that dude out there routing shit up per usual. That last touchdown catch he had, oh my God, it was a car through the out route to him. He had to extend his full body, all hands, snatched it, rolled out of bounds. Tay Adams is that dude. That was one of my takeaways. And then Herbert's the truth, man. Like Pat's still my guy. I wouldn't argue with you if you put Herbert and Allen right there, man. And to be honest, right now, if we talking about like today after week one, I would probably take Allen just because of the mobility factor. Like he got that dog to him when he ran. Like I like, man. Any of Cali kids too, man. I'm all in on Josh Allen, man. Josh Allen.
Dog, bro.
Quick mini episode, but yeah, man. Herbert is the truth too, though. That kid can make all the throws, man, from different platforms, just like Pat and the rest of the elite guys. He was still making throws, unbelievable throws, even when Keenan Allen went down. So yeah, shout out to all those guys.
So quickly on that, Tay Adams definitely is that dude still. And the Raiders, to me, so Carr, he didn't play great. I think that's easy. But overall, this is what I'll say to people who are picking the Raiders to actually win the division. They are not talented enough across the board to not win to win games without playing clean football. They don't have the luxury to have penalties, turnovers, or any other mistakes and still win games. I think people who are buying into that Raiders hype are buying into the star power on that team. And they don't really have a lot of star power outside of Tay and maybe Darren Waller. I think Derek Carr is arguably a top 10 quarterback, but the team as a whole, they don't have a lot of talent. So I think that they're going to find themselves on pretty much the short end if they have games like that. And to sum it up, I do think the Chargers are going to be a really good team this year. And Herbert is just one of those, like I told you, man, like I rated him 3. I love Justin Herbert. And I put him over Burrow because of how he can throw with such power and touch and do it anywhere at all times. He's different, brother, with that.
No, I love that. Brother, I love that. Right now, I'm not sure what our rankings was before. Of course, it's changing now. We're on a week-to-week basis. We're covering this shit. But I will say, I'm going to put Burrow ahead of Herbert right now. And it's not even so much because he got to the Super Bowl last year. I've just seen this kid come back time and time again. We've seen Herbert last year. He had an opportunity to take his team to the playoffs in a similar situation against the Raiders. He couldn't get it done. Wasn't all his fault, but I'm just saying, you know, everything ain't always Burrow fault. But shit, today he had four turnovers, and he still brought his team all the way back. They didn't win, but he brought them back is what I'm saying. I've just seen that a few times now from that young guy. I haven't seen Herbert deliver that a few times.
I mean, look, like when I rated him 3rd and Burrow 4th, like you're splitting hairs. You could have flipped a coin for me, ultimately, as you know, I bet on the physical gifts, and you can teach some of the other stuff. And Herbert's one of those few guys in this league that just has stuff that you cannot teach.
Yeah, Herbert, I feel like those two specifically, career-wise, I feel like they're going to play out like Brady Manning-ish, even though Herbert has a more electric arm than Manning, even though Peyton Manning is elite, but this kid has an electric arm. But as far as just, you know, stylistically, how their careers ended up shaping out, because like I said, I really feel like Burrow has that Brady factor where it's like, he's never out, bro. Like, you can never count this guy out at any point in a ball game. If he has seconds on that clock, Ja'Marr Chase and those weapons, mixing T. Higgins and the crew, he can get something done. I've seen it too many times, even dating back to LSU. I've just seen him pull shit out of his hat. And like I said, I've seen Herbert in these same positions, and I haven't seen him pull it through a few times, brother. So that's the one. So, you know, that's kind of like Brady and Manning. You know, Brady will always pull through on some late clutch shit. Manning, you know, had his one or two, his two or three years, you know, where he won his two, but he went another year. But, you know, I think I could see that playing out between those two guys.
My last rebuttal to that is I do like Cincy's skill players more than the Chargers, as you know, for me.
Yeah, but that's a given because Cincy.
But, Justin had those type of dudes.
Yeah, the Chargers don't have them.
With his arm, with that deep arm, I just think that it'd be a little bit different. But that's just me. But anyways.
The Chargers don't have much speed at all, bro.
No, they need to draft. Before we move
on to this next game, brother, I just got to say this, man. I got to say it. Because it's a few young receivers that put themselves – I can't say they put themselves on the map because we've been known about these guys. But I think they're taking that step into superstardom. And possibly one guy, I believe, is stepping in the top five by the end of this year. And the other guy, I don't believe he's going to take Tay's spot at number one just because I seen what Tay did. And he hasn't lost a step. He still got it. He's still getting busy. But Jefferson is coming for that number one spot. Like, he, man, and Chase is up there too. You know, I just love Jefferson. He's coming for it. That young bull is nice. And then A.J. Brown. Hey, we could talk about my Eagles next. But A.J. Brown, brother, you know, I didn't watch a ton of Ole Miss. I didn't watch a ton of Tennessee games.
I did, unfortunately.
I know you did. I watched big Tennessee games within the last couple of years, you know, when they play big games and when they make it to the playoffs. Brother, I didn't know this kid. Like, when I'm watching him play for my Eagles, first of all, he just fits us perfectly. Fits us, the city, the team. And just the culture, the background of the team. He reminds me of like a baby T.O., bro. Like that's what I said. Like, that's really what it reminded me of today, seeing that kid go blown by guys, being aggressive. And like, I'm not even gonna lie, bro, I like him more than DK. And it's not even just because he's on my team, it's just because it seemed like he run harder, bro. Like, DK more of a freak for sure. It's faster too, but like, his kid is just like, he runs with that aggressiveness, like that Devo-like aggressiveness. I love him, bro. I love it.
So really quick on that. I watched a lot of Ole Miss games, and I'll say this: when those two were on the field, it literally felt like Ole Miss was trying not to win games because they didn't throw them the ball.
Yeah. Like, Lane Kiffin though, wasn't Lane
the OC? No, Lane wasn't that. Because Lane was still at Bama. Literally, they did not have good quarterback play, but the offensive but that game plan and those plays, they were not, like, they weren't the one and two reads, like, half the time, and it made no sense. I'm, like, watching them, I'm like, you have these two dudes that are freaks of nature, and they're wide open, and you don't throw it to them. Like, it made no sense, but anyways, go on.
What do you think about that, brother? Do you think by the end of the year, you think AJ could be top five? Arguably.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think I can dive deeper into this receiver subject at, like, a later date, but Like I said, when we were doing these rankings, there's 20 top 10 receivers. Like, literally.
The pool is getting deeper. I will say that because of talent. There's 20
guys that you can say.
I will say.
Like, if somebody said they're top 10, like, I might not agree necessarily for me, but that doesn't mean that you're wrong.
Like, even for both of us, we both have Scary Terry in ours, and a lot of people probably wouldn't have Scary Terry in theirs.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say, this might be the deepest the NFL has ever been at the receiver's position, man. Like, it yes. is a lot, and it's growing, bro. Like, with yeah. the George Pickens of the world and stuff, like, it's just crazy amounts of talent coming in at that position. That's why these DBs, man, I will say, man, my DBs, man, we got to step our game up. Mentioning DBs, though, I will say my Eagles, for the most part, we did our thing today. I will say my squad did their thing, but Jonathan Gannon is going to piss me off, bro, as our DC. Like, he's just too conservative.
Yeah.
And he doesn't call enough. And I'm not even a blitz guy. And this is coming from a guy. I truly do not like blitzing a lot.
I don't either. One of those especially guys, with these core quarterbacks now.
That too. And then, like Croc said, man, with blitzing at least, I'm going to pick your spots kind of guy. Like, I'm going to roll the dice here and there, but it's not going to be all the time. It's going to be calculated. He never likes to. It's like he just doesn't like to run the blitz, man. We never generate, like, the Lions came out, was generating way more pressure than us, hit us in our mouth a few times early. I was pissed, but we end up, you know, taking over, handling our business. Jalen Hurts hitting A.J. Brown a few times deep today. I believe A.J. had, like, 9 or 11 catches for 140-something. I will say, the one thing I'm frustrated with, brother, and I peeped it when we got AJ, and I've been peeping it this whole time leading up to game one. First of all, you can't forget about my guy, Smitty, man. You just can't forget about Smitty. First and foremost, you just drafted this kid in the first round last year. Feel me? Like, I don't want to lose this kid in free agency. Just me personally. I love this kid, man. I really feel like Devontae's nice. And secondly, AJ had like 9 or 11 catches, like I said today. I'll look it up in a second. He caught like 3, maybe even 4, 5 screens today. Those gotta go to Devontae, bro. Quez. I don't think Quez had a catch at all today. Like, the quick stuff gotta go to those two guys if AJ is gonna be our downfield threat. Because he damn near probably had 100 yards just going downfield if you take away his screen yards. So that's what I'm saying. Like, those screens got to go to the other guys. I definitely just want to see a spread the sugar around a little more. But what I will say that I do like about my team, brother, that is something that carried over from last year. Hurts threw 38 times today. That might be a career high for him. So you could tell Sirianni does want to put these new weapons on display and utilize them. And show what we can do in the passing game. But today, you've seen us also flip the switch whenever we wanted to. And a matter of fact, we had all rushing touchdowns. We didn't have a passing touchdown today. I love how we can convert back to the run game and be an elite running team. Like, we just ran the shit down their throat whenever we wanted to. And my last point for my Eagles, brother, and then I'll let you go. Miles Sanders looks developed. Like, he looked like... I was watching Sunday Night Football. Zeke looked smaller than me. Look a little quicker, but Zeke looked smaller to me. Miles Sanders? Huh? He is, yeah. Miles Sanders, yes. Brother, I don't know if you got a chance to watch him. That boy, he looked bigger, but he looked strong. He was bursting through the hole. He was running behind his shoulder pads, got a few tough runs. He actually sealed the game for us late. But, yeah, I want to shout out Miles Sanders, man. He definitely looked like he developed and took that next step in his game as well. And got in the end zone for the first time since 2020.
So I guess the first thing that I'll say is I definitely agree with you with that defensive approach. They called that game like they were playing Mahomes or Allen or Herbert. Like one of these young guys that like you just cannot blitz. It was Jared Goff, bro.
Real quick, I'm sorry to cut you off again.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Because I know you didn't watch the whole game probably like I did. At one point, Goff threw 4 balls. The fourth one ended up getting picked off. The first 3, damn near all could have got picked off, bro. And I don't think we had pressure. Yeah, he had like 4 straight.
Highlights. Yeah.
It was terrible.
That's Look, I guess those four throws pretty much sum up why the Rams made that trade. But anyways, I do kind of – I know what you're saying with Smitty, and like in the grand scheme of things, I do agree with you. But I do think that he's more of a number two than he is like a 1A to A.J. Brown. So I do think there are just going to be weeks where he's not going to be featured as much as you think he could or should. I think that's where he's going to be at his best as like a real number two guy. Like AJ is going to be like the bottom guy.
I got you. I still think he has that one ability, but I feel like if you're a Smitty fan, a Devontae Smith fan today, you got to walk away with the same feeling as if you're an Allen Robinson fan from Thursday, as far as just like the targets, man. That's all I'm saying. Like I said, the easy one, brother, the easy ones, the quick screens. Like,
yeah,
you can't be throwing the ball to AJ Brown all game. And like I said, we got Quez, a quick as hell, 4-3 guy. Come on, let's use him, man. Let's get him the ball with those quick screens. AJ's big as hell, that his ass blocked.
The only thing that I'll say is this. We invested
so much in Devontae, we traded up to get him.
Yeah, but the only thing that I will say is this. AJ's better after the catch, and he's better with the ball in his hands. He plays stronger. He plays stronger. He's just stronger, period. And also, if your best player is dominating the game, I'm one of those people that doesn't like to take the ball away from them. I don't care what the other guy's credentials are. I don't care what his feelings are. For me, sports is very simple when you boil it down to this. When your best player is hot, keep giving them the ball.
I will say this. Last point for me on my Eagles, last 2 points. Devontae would benefit better with a more accurate quarterback. I've been saying that from day one because he's a pure route runner. He's a route runner type of receiver. So he needs an on-time, consistently accurate quarterback to deliver him the football. And then my last point is Jordan Davis, man. I didn't watch the game up front as much as I should have. That's one of my downfalls when I watch football. I want to watch the game from the trenches and outside, from inside to with moving out more. But I didn't see him much. I'm pretty sure he was out there, but I would definitely like to see him out there a little more, especially with Fletch. Like, that's the thing I want to see. I want to see him and Fletch together. But maybe when we play more of a run team. But, shit, the Swift was running, gashing our ass today. So, yeah.
I think it's just going to take – I think he's going to be just fine. When he was in there, I won't say he was miss. He did his job.
Yeah.
As long as you do that when you're a rookie, that's all that you can ask for. Like, he did his job.
Got you. We're going to move on. My last thing, Gannon, please, just blitz a little more, bro. I was watching the game today. Slay and Bradberry is straps, bro. Stop acting like you ain't got fucking corners on the back end. You got corners, man. You can blitz a little bit. Anyway, let's move on here. Let's talk about famous Jameis, man. Jameis and my guy Mike T. They lost. The Saints lose to the Falcons, but they definitely come back, and they have a good showing coming back in the second half. I actually feel like it was a little momentum to help them moving forward, especially Jay Boog, my guy Jameis, and Mike Thomas. What do you like from that game, brother?
That was one of the more frustrating games throughout the day. Like when people were saying that these games suck, that game for three quarters did suck to watch. It was just baffling how bad and like conservative that they looked.
Excuse me. I really misspoke. I'm tripping. They actually won. I know they came back.
I know. Like, I was gonna go into that. Next
time, get on my ass, man. Don't let me get carried away with that. Yeah, I'm tripping. They came back and won that game.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
But lost by one. I'm tripping.
Nah. But Michael Thomas, is back. Part and partial because AJ Terrell wasn't always on him, and the Falcons are the Falcons. But he is back. He looked good. Jameis definitely has his number one guy. And I do think the Saints are going to be a 10 to 11 win team this year. Actually, you know what? I'm going to amend that, because with how they looked today, that did kind of make me pause a little bit on them. So I'll say 10
wins.
Week one,
brother. Week one. It was the first half.
I won't say plus.
Yeah. I'll say 10. You know you got to settle into the game, though. It's week one, first half. They looked real bad. Patterson looked good, brother, for the Falcons. He was running hard.
I also feel bad for Kyle Pitts, because he's going to be one of those elite players that's stuck in a situation that is not ideal for him. But just real quick, I was proud of the way that they battled back. Jameis, he kind of showed what he did in a college with always coming back and like winning games. Mariota actually had a solid day. It wasn't a great day or anything, but he actually had a pretty solid day, and I'm not huge on him. So kudos to him, and also the Falcons for like at least making the game fun. And yeah, I don't have a lot to say, but the Saints were the superior team.
I forgot Mariota beat Jameis in the championship. I forgot about
that. Oh, yeah.
I think your ass made me pick FSU, too. I had FSU.
Well, Dalvin Cook had the worst game of his life. He fumbled three times when Jameis was driving. So that was when I got off the Dalvin Cook train. That was his true freshman year. Gotcha. And he fumbled three times.
I remember something happened.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a good game.
Who was on that working team, brother, with Mariota? Because that was supposed to be a good game.
Actually, all those star players that they had at like running back, they weren't there anymore. De'Anthony Thomas had already been gone. One of the Michael James and all of them were already gone. So it was pretty much just him.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, but anyways, kudos to them. The Saints are clearly the more superior team. And in the end, in the fourth quarter, when it mattered, I think the talent deficit showed.
Yeah, we're winding down here. Got a couple more that we want to cover in the last few topics, and then we'll get out of here. Let's start with Pat, man. Patty Mahomes, boy. My guy Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid handles business. Whoops the hell out of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and Pat looked like a well-oiled machine, man. Kyler, it's levels to this shit, bro. That's basically what he told Kyler today. Like, it's levels to this shit. That was my takeaway from that game. They blew their ass out, 44 to 21. Yeah, Pat 30 for 39, 365 yards. And then the Pacheco kid, I think I picked him up in one of my leagues.
Mm-hmm.
It was garbage time, but he had a pretty nice showing at running back.
Yeah.
Running back. But yeah, what was your take on that game, brother?
This game's easy. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in all of football, and I don't want to hear anything else about it. If you want to throw in Josh Allen for that discussion, sure. But I'm not just talking about quarterback, player. He is the best player. I don't care what the players voted on for the top 100 list. Because that list, as we all know, was very interesting. That man is the best player, and it's not close. And he could have, and honestly, like the score could have been worse. Juju had the fumble before that, the half, and that defense that they have. I think I'm not going to overreact because I'm not high on the Cardinals. I think Kyler, unfortunately for him, is it's not crap, but what they do is they put lipstick on a pig. They're really not that good of a team as a whole. They just have an electrifying quarterback that makes up for a lot of things. But that defense looks like they're going to be what I think that they can be at some point, which is a top 10 deep defense. I genuinely believe that. They are faster. They are never out of position. And I'm excited for this team. Like, this is my Super Bowl pick. I won't say that they're going 17-0.
You've been high on their defense, brother. You know, they put out a pretty good performance today. Some guys for the Cardinals was banged up.
Yeah.
No D-Hop. My guy Ertz, he ended up playing, but he was hurt. I thought we'd see a little more from Isabella. I thought we'd see a little more from Hollywood Brown as well, but we didn't. And like I said earlier, I just came away with, hey, it's levels to this shit, Kyler. I know you just got your money, but, hey, humble yourself. You know, I'm him.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like Pat said. So let's move
on. He's tired of the disrespect from people.
Let's move on. I know you wanted to touch on this game. I actually had the Texans to cover, so I really don't have much to say on this game because they handle business. I knew the Texans would be competitive. Yo, hating ass was hating on my guy, Lovie Smith. He got them boys playing competitive, man. A lot of people got the Colts winning that division. I don't see it. I think I still had Tennessee winning that division.
Well, I wasn't hating on Lovie Smith. I just thought that they were giving them absolutely nothing. Like, it doesn't matter what you, like, draw up. I mean, like, if you don't have the guys, like, it doesn't matter. But I think they traded for – I think the Colts traded for the wrong quarterback. I'm not a huge on Baker Mayfield, but Matt Ryan, his arm, man, he never had an elite arm or, like, even, like, in a – like a good to great arm. He always had like a league average arm, maybe like slightly below. He's lost a lot on that arm. It's not like Drew.
I didn't watch much of that game. They look like Big Ben from the last couple of years.
Not that bad yet, but it's trending that it's trending toward that and what Drew Brees was in his last 2 to 3 years.
Got you.
And that's all I wanted. Oh, and Derek Stingley looked really nice. And that's all I wanted to say.
Man, I thought I'd see a little more from my guy Pierce, too. They didn't get the volume I thought. I guess they were splitting carries with him and Burkhead.
Well, like I said, that offensive line.
Yeah, it's not much, much to work with.
Yeah.
One of the last games. Then we got to touch on the Sunday night game. Green Bay versus Minnesota. I already said it earlier, man. Jefferson, he's coming for that number one spot. Tay Adams, you better handle your business, baby, which you will do because Tay showed up and did his thing today. But Jefferson is definitely coming from that number one spot. I got to say, Cousins did look a lot more comfortable. He did look a lot more comfortable in that new system. They could still use some corner help. The Packers wasn't really working with much, especially without Lazard there and Devontae being in Las Vegas now. But in the A-Rod, you could tell he doesn't really have much to work with or guys that he trusts, especially early on when the Watson kid drops the touchdown early on. You could tell, I think, Aaron Rodgers, you know, head eye roll and head going back. He was pissed off, bro.
Yeah.
You could tell he doesn't really have much to work with. I will still hold on to my courage and my conviction and say that Romeo Dobbs will end up being wide receiver one by the end of the year.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with anything that you said. I think this game was pretty easy, but I want to point out something that, for me personally, I found to be weird and I don't get, and it irritates me. I don't understand why teams are paying these corners so much money when they don't put them on the best receiver.
To travel,
Forget if you're playing man the whole time. Even if you're playing zone, I want Jaire Alexander on Justin Jefferson's side. I don't understand what the point of paying these corners $19 to $20 million per year for them to, like, guard. Like nobody. Like,
Brother, I swear, when y'all was hitting the group chat talking about how he was going off, that was one of my first thoughts. I was like, damn, is Jaire playing? I'm like, well, how is he just doing that like that?
I'm
going to go rewatch. That might be my first game I'm going to go rewatch.
I'm telling you, like, they barely matched up, and when they did, who knew? Jetta didn't go off as much. Who knew?
Yeah. Hey, you got anything else on this game, brother?
No, that game was simple.
Sunday night recap, man. Ugly game, 19-3, GOAT wins, Brady destroys, takes down the Dallas Cowgirls. Dak is hurt. It looks like the season might be over already for the Cowboys. Jerry Jones.
I know. Like, it's over.
Yeah, it's over. Jerry Jones comes out after the game and says that Dak needs surgery for his thumb. So he's definitely out a few weeks. I seen somebody even say he's out indefinitely. I'm not sure. I didn't hear that, but I seen a tweet that said that. So I'm not sure about that. But I know Jerry said he will be having surgery and be out a few weeks. So their season is over with because they had a pretty tough schedule, I believe.
Well, a few things. Shout out to Leonard Fournette. I think he answered those questions about him coming into camp and could he get in shape and all that, which he clearly did. Number two, for me, Micah Parsons was the best player on the field for either team. For me personally, I thought that was very easy to see. With Dak going forward,
that O line is bad.
The offense, Brady O line ain't much better either, brother. No, part and partial is because Micah Parsons is just a game wrecker. But CeeDee Lamb is going to get all those people who think he's this top 10 guy already, or should be, or like could have been doing what like Jed is doing, he's going to find out really quick how much harder it is when you have the number one corner on you and it's not gonna, the two.
It's going to look like how Juju looked when he lost AB.
Yeah, a little bit. I think he has more overall ability than him, so like it'll look a little better, but he's going to learn, especially now with Dak out too. He's definitely gonna learn. CeeDee Lamb, I think anybody coming out for that year had either him or Jerry Jeudy number one, which both look like obviously were very wrong.
I liked CeeDee coming out. Maybe it's because he's with the Cowboys, but I'm not seeing it there. Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
I did too.
I think he may be a guy that needs a new situation, brother.
I did too, but I want to also say this, and I don't want to, and I hate when people do lazy takes like this, but I think this is part and parcel, because when Oklahoma skill players outside of Joe Mixon really come into the league, I think that Big 12 stuff, especially with like Bruce receivers, this is more difficult to scout, man, because they don't play any defense in the Big 12. I think CeeDee is a really good player, but where he was probably projected to be and where he is right now currently, that doesn't mean he won't get better and like change things. But right now, he's more of a number two than he is a one.
Yeah. And I'm shocked. I thought that, you know, Tampa Bay's front is elite, but I still thought that Dallas will at least attempt to run it a little more with Zeke. They didn't do that.
And I thought Zeke, I mean, just from like when I he is.
He looked quick. They say he looked quicker, but I thought he looked a little smaller for sure. That's what I seen.
He definitely looked smaller, but I thought like when he played, I mean, he's not the Zeke of old, but like from like what he's been, like he looked better just as like a runner because they had like a little bit more pop. But that offense for the Dallas Cowboys, it looks all sorts of out of whack. I didn't get what they were doing at all. So, yeah, that was definitely an interesting showing for them.
My last point on that game, I told Cats a few weeks ago, Julio is not washed, okay? He just got to be healthy. And I seen
his hamstrings are washed.
He ran right past Brown. He ran right past his ass. He can still run, okay? So stop disrespecting my guy. And it's early in the season. This is the best Julio you're going to get. So you might as well appreciate it while you see it now. He can still run by guys while he's still healthy for now. Got anything else on that, brother? Are we good?
No, because I love the way that Carlton Davis looked, but again, he was playing CeeDee Lamb, so I don't know.
Gotcha. Who you got in that Monday night game, man? Broncos or Seahawks, and what's your score?
I got the Broncos. I think it's going to be a close game early, but then I do think the Broncos pull away late.
I'm going to go 34. Ooh. I'm going to go 34-14. I'll say Geno and the company can get two on the board. Maybe.
I did want to say in the 30s for the Broncos, but I'm going to go a little bit more conservative just because everything is so new. I'm going to go more so 27-13.
I like that one. I like that one.
Yeah. Like, I think Geno will play solid, but ultimately I do think Russ is going to cook at some point. I just think there's going to be a lot of newness, and it's probably not going to be as much fireworks as what people think.
Yeah, I need Russ to throw two touchdowns tomorrow, and I'm good for a couple of my player props. So cash in for me, Russ. Let Russ cook tomorrow. I actually got – let me see. I'm down right now in one of these fantasy leagues. So not ours, but another one. I'm down 4 points right now, and we both got two people to play. He got Javonte Williams, your guy, and then he got the Broncos kicker. I got the Broncos, and then I got Russ and I got Sutton. I need Russ and Sutton to kick. I need Russ to hit Sutton for one tug. I need him to hit.
Yeah,
that's easy. Yeah, I'm gonna win that. I ain't worried about that. Especially if Russ cook, I'm not worried about that. Yeah. I think especially Williams or Gordon, either one or both of them, they can get off too. But I think at the end of the day, especially with him going back to Seattle, Russ is trying to cook, bro. Russ is trying to cook.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You got anything else, brother? We good?
For that game, no.
I think that was all the game. You got any other games?
No. I'm looking forward to next week, though, because football's finally back, and I'm stoked.
Yeah, man. We'll dive in. We'll give I'm thinking maybe live. Want to go live this week or something? We'll figure it out.
Sure.
We'll definitely have Friday Pick'ems out this week. We kind of clipped it up last week for you guys, but we'll have a full pod out by this Friday with our picks for this week two's games, all right?
Player props this week were tough, man.
Hey, for me, like I said, I cashed in better on my player props than my team ones, but I missed all by one because of the Niners. But like and follow and subscribe to The Huddle on YouTube, to our YouTube channel, and follow us on all platforms, social media, at Twitter and Instagram, at the 510 Huddle and at the 510H. Thank you.
Thank you. Later.
We play for keeps, Cuddy. You ain't heard about the huddle fire with no with D-Lane. We tryna get it off the muscle. Walters caught the pick and ran it back without a tussle. Blow the whistle, coach, it's time to get back to the huddle.